Mornings on SEN.
It's a very good morning to you. Kane Corns in the chair for Jared. I'm fired up. I'm onto my second coffee. I've had my beetroot juice and trade period is in full swing. So I am ready to go. And I can't wait for you to join in the program with me this morning. 1-300-736-736. As you know, there is always an opportunity for you to jump on the phone and join in the conversation and take the show in any direction that you'd like. On the McCafe menu, our man Mitch Cleary is going to join us for all the latest in the trade period. He's got his finger on the pulse. There's three-way deals being speculated everywhere. There's plenty happening this morning. Bharat Sundaresan is going to join us. He's our SEN cricket expert. A lot of cricket around the place as we turn our attention to their season. Big Shield game here in Adelaide. Beautiful conditions. SA taking on the Vicks. So we'll preview that one. And, of course, the T20 last night at Metricon. We'll review that with Bharat and you can have your say on that. But most importantly, we'd love for you to get involved. That is for McCafe, our official coffee partner. If I was a Saints fan, I'd be pretty happy by what I heard from the new football boss, Jeff Walsh. He was on SEN Breakfast yesterday morning. This comment that he made is doing the rounds this morning and I loved it. Let's have a listen.
I think that one of the things that I'd like to think I can bring to the table is the willingness to make a hard call or to have a hard conversation, to not walk past something if you see and you know it's wrong, that I'm, you know, willing to call it out. So yeah, you'd have to ask, you know, Simon Lethlone and Andrew Bassett, but whether that appeals to them in me, I don't know. And this might sound abrasive and the Saints fans might get upset, but one of the things that I think, you know, when asked about, you know, how do I see St Kilda, I think the competition would say there's been a degree of irrelevance. And that might, as I say, that should be abrasive. That should sort of choke down people's throats. And I hope that going forward, that I can contribute to a profile that gives the Saints the due respect that they crave.
Saints fans, I loved it. It may have been hard to hear 1-300-736-736, but there's a hard edge to that guy. And I don't know Jeff Walsh at all, but just listening to that chat, I thought, yeah, this is a move in the right direction for the St Kilda Footy Club. My strongest mentor in football was Phil Walsh, and I'll never forget the day that he was in a leadership group meeting with us and he was facilitating the leadership meeting. He said, look, good clubs have conversations in here, so before we leave this room, is there anything that someone wants to say that hasn't been said? Because poor clubs have conversations in the car park. And it did remind me of those comments from Phil Walsh. That would have been, you know, back in 2013-14 at Port Adelaide when he was facilitating the leadership group meetings. And that comment from Jeff Walsh reminded me of that. So I liked it. Saints fans, how did you take it? Matthew Lloyd was on Trade Radio this morning and he gave some advice on what he would do if he was a leadership member at St Kilda.
If I was Brett Ratton and Jack Steele, I'd walk into his office and say, okay, let's discuss this, because we're not going to argue with you, but let's discuss it. What do we need to do as a football club? Let's get all the leaders in the room, Simon Lethlean, the fourth one, and go, okay, how do we change this? And then Jeff Walsh may say, what about our game style? Do we need to play a more attractive style? You know, sometimes St Kilda are playing slow, then the next week they're playing fast. But you look at the style of Geelong. Yeah, I know it's a copycat industry at times. You've got to think of the next way you're going to win, but the way Geelong become more attractive to everyone this year. I think Sydney Swans moved the ball quick and exciting. Collingwood took the competition by storm. I reckon if I'm speaking to Justin Longmuir, Justin, you've got to take a few more risks, I reckon.
Yep.
If you're going to go on and win a premiership, you're a bit too safe this year. And St Kilda, you've got Max King down there. Get it in there fast here. Rowan Marshall, can he be more excited? Can get Jade Gresham in? I think that's where DeGoey would have been brilliant for St Kilda, because he brings a bit of spunk to them. But it's about the excitement that can be brought to St Kilda.
3AW's Matthew Lord, and we thank 3AW for borrowing Lordo off you for this period. But Saints fans, what should you do? And then the further question to get the other supporter groups involved, if you are having an honest conversation about exactly where your club sits, Jeff Walsh says there's been largely an irrelevance about St Kilda. If we're looking at a clock, where does your club sit on the irrelevance clock? So Geelong are clearly at 12 o'clock. Bang, they're relevant. North Melbourne, you would think, are 1 o'clock. Irrelevant. St Kilda have been around that 4, 5 o'clock mark. I've spoken about Hawthorn this year and the fact that they're just so far off Broadway, it's not even funny. West Coast, big, powerful, richest club in the competition. Absolutely irrelevant. You know, if you're having a real honest conversation about where your club sits on the back of hearing that, where you are you on the irrelevance scale, and what do you need to do over the next week or so to give some excitement and some optimism around your club? Because just on St Kilda, it doesn't appear they're up to that much during the trade period. No De Goey, no Bowes, and doesn't feel like they're up to too much. But I'll hand the keys over to you, 1300 736 736. You can send us a text on the 40 Winks Temper text, 0433 98 11 16. Temper, a mattress like no other. Tommy, you're a Saints fan. What did you make of those comments from Jeff Walsh?
I am Kane. Good morning, mate. I heard the interview in the entirety yesterday. I thought it was fantastic, refreshing that someone with a hard edge and a hard nose, and obviously, you know, he's been there, done that with experience, and can just come in and go, right, this is what we need. Cut the crap. And the comment that he made about, you know, St Kilda being irrelevant, you know, to most of the competition. Well, he, as a St Kilda supporter, you don't want to hear that, but he's spot on. Like, it couldn't be further. Like, that comment is just the best comment ever. And as far as our trade period goes, mate, you were saying that we're a little bit quiet. I think we've done okay. Obviously, we've got Zane Cordy at the moment. We're into Wiedemann a little bit from Melbourne. Hopefully, we can get him. Obviously, the contractual thing with Bowes, you know, was too much money, because that's what, you know, sort of stopped us. But I think, like, with the period, the Saints are going, hit the draft, going okay. But this Jeff Walsh appointment, I think, is absolutely fantastic. And what he said was spot on.
Good on you, mate. I agree with you, Tommy. Shane's in Sky. You're a Saints fan, Shane?
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
What's your thoughts?
I reckon it has been. But also, I think our style was a lot better in the first half of the year. And no one was giving us any credit when we were 8-3. But then the season just fell apart.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're deserving of credit after 11 games that the season goes for 23 rounds. I think we were optimistic about St Kilda. We lauded their pressure and certainly their forward half pressure, but it did break down significantly after that. I think Matthew Lord is right when he said there was, you know, a bit of confusion about the game plan. There was mixed messages, I thought, publicly from Brett Ratton. Do we want to move the ball through the middle of the ground, or is it too risky? They played too safe. They didn't give Max King, I should say, a chance to have those one-on-one opportunities. So the game plan is an issue, but largely it's more about the hold of the football club. And to hear that must have been hard to hear for some Saints fans, but I liked it. And on the surface of it feels like an excellent appointment. Glenn's in Fitzroy. Jeff Walsh's comments, Glenn, how do you view it?
Hi, Kane. Yeah, I wrote a text to my son straight away and said, Saints have just appointed Jeff Walsh as GM of football. Could be the best appointment by a club in years, as he won't pull punches assessing where we're at and called us already what we are, somewhat irrelevant. I think it's a fantastic appointment. I was gobsmacked when I heard he was there. But what I'd do is I'd do exactly what Geelong did, get the key players in the room together and strategise how the hell they're going to turn this club around and make sure that it's not about people, it's about the best things for the club. That's the starting point for me.
Good on you, Glenn.
And having him there as a member of that team is great.
Yeah, it's about designing that game plan to suit your strengths and not Geelong's strengths, not Melbourne's, not Collingwood. It's about looking at your personnel, and Chris Scott was pretty open about what they did back in October last year about designing that game plan to suit the personnel that they had and essentially starting from scratch. And you know, those comments that he made on Footy Classified in the lead-up to the final series are going to ring pretty true, I reckon, for a number of clubs. Billy wants to speak about recruiting in the game. Bill, you got a view?
Yeah, hey, Kane. Look, I just want to talk about, I'm a pretty frustrated North supporter, and just looking at what we did when Brad Scott was in charge and got players such as Jared Waite, sort of recycled, mature players, it really can only get you so far, and I haven't seen too much evidence of it getting to the top of the mountain. You know, is it really worth doing, I mean, even what we're doing at the moment, the Kangaroos, trading out all our picks, which we've done for the last, I don't know, 10 years, and we end up getting nowhere, whereas you look at somewhere like in the NFL where you see teams, you know, take those high picks, get great young players in, and then it transfers to success pretty quickly. I mean, what are your thoughts on the way we're doing it at the moment? I mean, is this we're not going to win a premiership in the next 5 years. We've got no chance. So are we better off just keeping our picks and taking young players and building a squad?
Yeah, I'm not sure what picks you're referring to them trading out, though, Bill. I haven't seen them. You know, there's been talk about trading pick one, but it hasn't happened yet. I guess it makes it pretty difficult when you invest in Jason Horne-Francis as pick one and he wants to leave 12 months later. That doesn't help. When you make errors, Will Phillips is an error at pick three. I'm confident in that despite the injuries that he's had. Small midfielders at pick three, just not going to work for you. So it's great to have the picks. You got to make the right selections, and that was where my criticism of North Melbourne's list management over this period, I think, will be proven to be correct. But it is a mix, isn't it? I mean, some would have been critical of Geelong, saying, oh, Isaac Smith, Sean Higgins, you know, Reece Stanley, are these players that are going to carry you to a premiership? So it's about the full recipe in getting the list management right. It's not just one thing fits all. It's not just, all right, let's all go young. We've seen how that can smash your club if you don't have enough support around those young players. It's not all about recycled players and getting them in. It's about the recipe that goes into building that premiership winning list. And, you know, it is difficult for North Melbourne with the challenges that they've got at the moment to attract those players. Errol is on the line. There's a big gulf between the best and the worst teams at the moment. Errol, have you got a thought as to why?
I'm just wondering why these lower clubs can't attract elite players. They never will, and the gulf will just get bigger. I think at Geelong, you know, they had one Coleman medalist. Oh, we'll get another one. We'll have two. How does this help the competition? And to hear Brad Scott at the best and fairest at Essendon commenting and congratulating the AFL on having an even competition, had he not seen the disparity between the premiership points of the minor premier and the wooden spooners? I just think it's ruining our game. You mentioned this yesterday and I was going to call, but I decided to wait to today because I want to keep the conversation going. And I ask you, as our representative, can you do that for us, please, Kate? We've got to do something about this. If Tasmania comes in, we have 20 teams in the competition. Where does that leave us with the pool of players to be spread across at an elite level players?
No, I'm with you, and I'm glad you called, because I went through it yesterday and just on the really quick exercise, and you can do this at home, go through the ladder and in your own mind have a call on which teams can possibly win the premiership. Like right now, 6th of October, go through the 18 teams. How many realistically can win it? I've got 8, maybe 9, maybe 9. Now, how is that good for the competition that over half of the teams right now have no chance of winning a premiership? And we saw it yesterday, and this isn't in any way a criticism of Geelong, but for them to get pick 7 in, Ollie Henry and Tanner Bruin and some young players, as well as Jack Bowes in the prime of their career, I mean, it must just be depressing for other teams. We're so far away from this, it's not funny. So what does the AFL do? We speculated about this yesterday. You know, do you ban some of the successful teams from the trade period? Do you make contracts have a mandatory length of period of time? Are you making teams that have contracted players capable of trading them to any club that they want? There's certain levers the AFL can pull, and certainly something they need to look at, because their equalisation model, Errol, I agree with you, it is stuffed. Nick's in Scarborough. Good morning to you, Nick. You want to speak about the Giants?
Yeah, g'day, Kane. Congratulations on the run, mate. Amazing effort.
Thank you.
I just read that Nick Haynes might be up for trade. So if you're the Bulldogs, are you on the phone straight away this morning, trying to Chronicles. Yeah,
I love him. I love Nick Haynes as a player, and have been speaking about this on Trade Radio. But, there's a big but with it, because we don't know. I mean, talk that he's paid $1 million a year. Nick, like, he's 30 years of age, 2 years left, $2 million on a back-end deal at the Giants. Which club has the salary cap room to pull the trigger on that? I'm not sure it would be the Western Bulldogs. You know, considering the Dogs, they're going to have to save some cash for their young stars coming through. Norton's going to need to get paid. Bontempelli's on a big contract that he signed, I think, last year. Tim English has just been paid. So I'm not sure they would have the salary cap room. In fact, not many clubs would to pull the trigger on a 30-year-old for $2 million. But do love Nick Haynes, and it's another example of the Giants and the trouble that they've got themselves into with their salary cap. Whitfield's the interesting one for me, whether there's any traction on Lachie Whitfield throughout this trade period. 5 years left on his deal, but he would be enticing for a couple of clubs with the attributes that he's got. Good on you, Nick. Thanks for your thoughts. Dan's in Elwood. G'day, Dan.
Kano, happy Thursday, mate. Big week in footy, eh? Never a dull moment.
No, never.
Mate, wanted to get... I mean, I could talk about Don stuff, I could talk about lots of stuff, but I wanted to get your read on this one, mate. So, I'm a Carlton man. Obviously, seeing your writing and your commentary around the Acres acquisition, which I think is delightful. Carlton, in my mind, I mean, there's talk about shoring up some defensive stocks. I feel like two-way running is important. I kind of feel like, you know, you're getting all excited about Horn Francis and Port Adelaide, but the other one at North that I reckon might be shakeable or gettable is Taron Thomas. And I'm a big fan of Taron Thomas. And, I mean, I know Carlton said they're going to go to the draft. I think Thomas is, what, like 22? Same draft as Walsh? Yeah, for me, I'd think I was Carlton. I'd probably be going pretty hard and having a look at that. Like, he's two-way. I love his...
Dan, can you afford him? We're hearing $700,000 for Taron Thomas. That's what North are paying him. So he's not going to move for less. Not sure the Blues, with the players that they've got, can afford him. That would be my only concern.
Great question. So I've been kicking this around with some mates. For me, I reckon I'd be looking at offloading like Dow, McGovern. I mean, mind you, I don't know what they've got in the pipeline redraft over the next few years. Like, there's the Camporilli twins and stuff coming up and through. Apparently one of those is a great wingman. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's like, you know, you got to balance the cap. You're going to have to pay TDK in a few years. But big fan of Taron Thomas. He'd be top of my bucket list if I was a lot of clubs out there. And I think
good on you, mate. Fine. Love your thoughts. The Blues, they're all in on this list, and clearly have to win a final next year. There's no doubt about that. We'll quickly sneak in Dean before we get to the Masai Mitch Cleary. G'day, Dean.
Yeah, g'day, Kane. Kane, my free agency and the draw does my head in. You're trying to equal a comp. I watched Richmond win a flag and then get Tom Lynch, and he dominates Geelong. So Geelong turned around to go and get Jeremy Cameron. Like, you know, and he's best player in the comp for you. It's just, it's ridiculous, Kane, to get the situation where Geelong popped a West Coast or a North twice. So is it an exhibition or is it a competition that we're doing? Because the equalisation stuff I've done hasn't worked at all. It's got worse. So I don't know who oversees that, who looks at that. Let's be honest, it's a money-making exercise, the AFL, you know, good TV rights, but we wouldn't mind an equal comp as well, giving everyone a fair go.
I'm with you, mate. I'm absolutely with you. I think it should be a massive priority for the AFL, because the model of the draft and the salary cap and giving the teams that finish outside the top eight an easier draw just doesn't work. And we've seen that highlighted even more significantly throughout this trade period. Richmond go and get two midfielders in their prime, Taranto and Hopper. I mean, how's that fair? Anyway, you can have your say. The open lines for EFS, delivering simple freight solutions. A man who's all over it. In fact, he loves the trade period. He's got his finger on the pulse. You got a question for the Masai Mitch Cleary from Channel 7. Send it through 0433 98 11 16. He's going to join us next.